Good evening.
Good evening.
Hello, how are you?
Good, and you?
Good. My name is Katrina Spencer, and I am here recording with
Hapsituwan.
Hapsituwan. Mm-hmm. And she's going to tell me a little bit about the use of the Arabic language in Senegal. However, in order to understand the linguistic environment that is particular to Senegal, we're going to learn a little bit about her background first. So, Hapsa, thank you for being with me here.
Welcome, my pleasure.
We're recording on the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign's campus. Today is March 14th, it's a Monday, and we're recording in the evening at the Graduate School of Library and Information Science. Mm-hmm. Hapsa, can you tell me a little bit about your relationship to the university?
Okay, I'm a PhD candidate in the program of World Literatures, Comparative World Literatures, and I'm teaching the introductions to literatures of Africa and Asia, the early modern period to our contemporary time. Mm-hmm. I am finishing.
Wonderful, congratulations.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's
wonderful. Where are you from, Hapsa?
I am from Senegal.
If you don't mind me asking, are you from an urban, a rural, a suburban space in Senegal?
I'm from the city, so an urban space, born and raised in the city. My experience in the rural area is mostly 2 or 3 days spent in the village. Okay. But yes.
I ask because it might impact some of the questions.
Definitely.
About the use of Arabic in Senegal. Tell me, what languages do you speak?
Okay, I speak English.
Yes.
Then Wolof, Pula, which is a variation of Fula. Okay. And I speak French.
Wonderful. Can you tell me a little bit about the trajectory that you took in coming to the United States?
Mm-hmm. So what happened is that I was an exchange student at the University of Madison, Wisconsin at some point. Mm-hmm. And then I went back to Senegal. And when I was in Madison, I met really, really great people. And one of them told me that the University of Illinois was looking for someone to teach Wolof and also enroll in the African Studies MA program. And I was interested, so I applied, and here I am.
Yes. How long were you in Wisconsin?
For 1 year, and it's been, it was in 2003, 2004.
Do you ever get to travel back and see anyone that you know?
Yes. Yes, definitely. Like, whenever I have at least 2 days, I would go. Like I said, I met really great people there, and I still keep in touch with them.
Wonderful. Can you tell me a little bit about the research going on for your dissertation?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So I'm working on autobiographical fictions within Africa and the diaspora. So I'm looking at autobiographical fictions written by women writers from South Africa, Senegal, Guadeloupe, and Brazil. And I'm looking at the ways in which there is a relationship or a connection between the literary form and the construction of identity. Mm-hmm. And all of this is to set a sort of framework of a comparative framework between different African diasporas, like within that concept, and looking at the spatial frameworks in which, within our globalizing present, we can see the correlation between literary form and the construction of the diasporic identity.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so as you already know, I want to ask you about language use mm-hmm. in Senegal and West Africa.
Yes.
Can you tell me about your differing competencies in the languages that you speak?
Okay. I can say that I'm fluent in all four languages that I speak. whether it is at the academic level or just at the social level. I'm much more comfortable in French, definitely. And there are many reasons for that that are specific to my experience, and it's not the experience of everybody in Dakar, for sure. So, yes, I would say definitely much more comfortable with French, and then within an academic setting, English. With the Wolof, I taught Wolof for 4 years here at the University of Illinois, so it is definitely like native fluency. And Pular is out of all four languages, I would say that Pular is probably the one that I'm less fluent in. And it is just because it is the language that I speak with my family mostly. So,
so if you call home, you're speaking Pular? Maybe.
Yes, with my mom, definitely I speak Pula. With my brothers and sisters, he can just shift. We just shift between all four languages in a certain sense, because we all understand that. So a conversation with, let's say, one of my sisters can go with one sentence in English, another one in French, another one in Pula, another one in Wolof. It really depends on what we are talking about. Mm-hmm. So yeah, basically that's it.
Are your siblings traveling as much as you are?
Yes, we are all scattered around the world.
Can I ask you where everyone is?
Oh, sure. My older sister, who is the eldest one, she lives in Montreal, Canada. My older brother used to live in France and then Tunisia, but now he's back to Senegal. My younger sister lives in Switzerland, and she lived in the United States for 10 years. And my younger brother lives in France now.
Wow.
Yes.
That reminds me of an essay that I read. It's, you know, a few years old at this time, but I think it's called, like, Afropolitans?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It's a lot of names.
Selassie. Yeah. I remember her name.
It's okay. Yeah. With the name, the title, Afropolitan, people will be able to look it up, or maybe I can even link somewhere to it. Okay. Well, tell me a little bit about the way that the country of Senegal addresses the languages differently. Mm-hmm. Because I'm imagining that your education was conducted in
French.
Okay, in French.
Yes.
Was that all throughout?
Not really all throughout. Like, definitely kindergarten to elementary, middle school, high school, it was in French. Except when you chose, like, to take a class in another language, then even for that, I guess, like, until high school, the language of instruction was French. But then when I went to college, I majored in English studies, so the courses were conducted in English.
Did you ever, or were there any courses that were offered in Pula?
No. I know that they are offered in one of the big universities, like the one that is in the capital city, so, but at my university it wasn't offered. And I don't really know for middle school and high school.
Well, here's a slight differentiation on the same question. Have you encountered texts in Pula, written in Pula?
Yes, but it was mostly when I was at the university level, and it wasn't really in class or whatever. Like, someone would talk about the translation of the Ambiguous Adventure, which is like a classic in African literature that was written in Pula, and I just looked at it. But then that's mostly the only encounter that I had with a novel that was written in Pula.
Do you happen to know if in Senegal either a Bible or a Quran can be found in Pula?
I would go on a limb and say yes.
Okay.
I'd, I would say yes, definitely. Just not in Senegal, but knowing Fulai and how it is spread out in West Africa, I would say yes. But I haven't seen it.
Okay, yes. Yes. Well, what about the Arabic language?
Mm-hmm.
Have you had any instruction in Arabic?
Yes. I took Arabic, and this is where it gets very specific and extraordinary, I don't know. But I took Arabic at the high school level.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons why I chose Arabic, I didn't really choose Arabic, I didn't really have the choice, to be honest. Because I was interested in majoring in sciences, I needed another language. I started with Latin and classical Greek.
Mm-hmm.
And when I decided that I wanted to major in sciences in high school, they asked me to take another language because I won't need Latin and classical Greek learning physics and mathematics, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I had to choose between Spanish, German, and Arabic.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that I would be studying with, they started since the elementary level. So I had to really take the train.
Wow.
What's going on? So what happened is that the teacher of German, she just said no, because it would be like too much work for her. The other, the Spanish one, it was a little bit complicated. And the only teacher that really was willing to let me be in his class was the teacher of Arabic. And I'm very grateful for that.
How long were you taking Arabic for?
I took Arabic in high school for 3 years.
Yeah.
And at the college level, I took Arabic for 2 years.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Wow. Do you remember the first days that you were in Arabic class?
In high school, not really.
Oh, okay.
But I do remember in college, because it was such a shock, really.
That's what I want to hear about.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't ready. I didn't think, because I chose to major in English, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't think that I would need to study another language. We would do French and French literature, French francophone literature, right? But what happened is that it was a requirement. I had to study Arabic. And like I said, I didn't have the foundation of it. Like, I got by to high school just because it's high school level, you know, like you can catch up quite easily. But
mm-hmm.
College, that was another story. And our professor at that time is from Mauritania. So it was almost complete immersion in Arabic, and it was such a challenge. I'm not going to lie. That was very challenging.
If I can ask you,
uh-huh.
What about it was challenging? I'm not contesting that it's challenging.
Yes.
I just want you to describe.
No. Everything, I would say. Like, just not having the foundation and getting to read a text written in Arabic at the academic level was a problem, right? Like,
right.
I didn't have the vocabulary for it. I didn't have the grammar for it or anything. And then all the questions were asked in Arabic. So if I don't understand the text and I don't understand the questions, then how am I going to get away with it? And then we had the oral component of it, and even for the pronunciation, it was very challenging for me. But I ultimately passed the class. So.
Very well done. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. So we have talked a little bit, just very little. We talked about French, some English, Wolof, Pula,
yes.
A little bit of Arabic. So it sounds like Senegal is a linguistic melting pot.
Yes.
Do you know how many more languages are
spoken
there?
Oh, a lot more than that. I would say 30, and then I would say even more than that. But then we have a certain number of national languages that regularly people speak in the street or within their families, depending on your ethnic group, but also depending on your environment, right? I had, for example, like, I have a friend, she's Wolof, but she grew up in the South. So she started to speak all the languages that were spoken in the South And for me, the main reason why I speak Pula is because I am Fula, right? I'm half Pula, so that's it.
Well, let me ask you a few situational questions, a few scenarios.
Yeah, sure.
And I want you to tell me, like, what language you use when you do these certain things, okay? So you already sort of answered the first one.
Yeah.
When you call home, for example, to talk to your family, to talk to your mom, it's in
Pula. Most of the time, it's in Pula. When I want to tease her, I speak Wolof. But most of the time,
Does she speak French?
She does. She does speak French. She understands English to a certain level, right? Like, really, the basic conversation and whatnot. And if she feels like she can get through you by speaking English, she'll try.
That's really sweet.
Yeah, so, but definitely, like, we speak Pula most of the times.
If you go to a market to buy food, what language would you speak to the cashier or the grocer?
It really depends. Like, in the small markets, in the street markets and whatnot, I will speak Wolof, and sometimes they answer in Wolof, sometimes they answer in French, you know. But if it is in like the big stores, like the grocery stores here, or things like that, most of the times it's French.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What about, is it the same if you're buying clothing?
Buying clothing, I mean, it really depends. If it's at the mall, they would just come towards me and be Madame, you know, like, and start speaking French. But if it is in the market, if I start the conversation, I usually like to start it in Wolof, but most of the time they just shift towards French.
Okay. When you are using public transportation in Senegal?
Wolof. And it really, yeah. Yes, Wolof, definitely. When I'm taking a cab or taking the bus and whatnot, yes.
Okay. When you go to the movies in Senegal?
Well, I haven't been to the movies in Senegal in a long time, but I don't know. Like, I would say Wolof French, like, either way.
The movie is usually being screened in what language? I don't know.
Oh, it really depends.
Okay.
What happened in Senegal, I don't know what happened. Like, just something horrible happened in Senegal, and then we no longer had, at some point we did not have any theater left. The first theater that we had that was really popular and was really downtown Dakar, I would say French, and the screening was in French, and we would have the big Hollywood productions and things like that. And then I think that now they have a new theater that opened, but I've never been there, so I can't tell. I used to go to l'Alliance Franco-Sénégalaise, which is the sort of institution for the promotion of French in Senegal. And I would go there to watch movies, and most of it would be in French.
Do they ever, I know it's been a while, but have they ever screened films like with Wolof subtitles?
The thing is, whenever they would show a movie at that time, really, when they would show a movie, it would be foreign movies, right? It would be in the old theaters, like the street, within the district and whatnot. They would show, for example, Bollywood movies or martial arts movies, you know, with... So yeah, that's the kind of, and those were subtitled in French. But then for African movies, I mean, we did not have that tradition of showing African movies until really late, like in the late 2000s. I would see, because I was already here, but I would see, for example, on Facebook that they have screenings of the latest Senegalese movie, okay, that was produced in France or that was produced in here or things like that. So I don't know for sure if it was subtitled in French or in Wolof or things like that, but I know that the screening really started really late, like late 2010, 2011, or things like that.
Okay. What language are you using if you visit a library in Senegal?
I would say French. All the libraries, when I was younger, we would go to the district library, right? And and it was in French. And like I said, I would go to Alliance Franco-Sénégal. It's not Alliance Franco-Sénégal. I think they just changed the name.
Alliance Française.
Yes. Alliance Française.
Something like that.
It changed. Now it is Institut Léopold Sédar Senghor. Yes, they changed it. Now it's all about Senghor. Mm-hmm. Yes. I would go there, and it is in French, right? Most of the books that I would check out would be in French. And and now we have mostly a new culture of going to bookstores, and they organize book signings and presentations and things like that, and everything is in French, basically.
Let's see.
But
go ahead.
I just want to mention that I read this like maybe last week or this week, I can't remember. One Senegalese writer, his name is Boubacar Boris Diop, has just started a whole collection in Wolof. So even have the translation of So Long a Letter in Wolof.
Mm.
So that's good to know. It will be available. And he has, I think he owns one, he co-owns a bookstore with other people. So definitely these books will be available to the Senegalese.
And you said the name is Boubacar?
Boubacar Boris.
Boris.
Diop.
Boris Diop.
Job.
Okay.
You wrote it in the Wolof way, which is good.
All right. So what would you say? Typically, Senegalese authors are writing in what language?
I would say French, definitely. Boubacar Boris Diop actually wrote a novel. He wrote it in Wolof first, I believe, Domicolo, and then he translated it in French. Les Petits de Lagonon, and I was trying to find the English version, but I couldn't find it.
Le Petit.
Les Petits de Lagonon.
I'm just going to have you write that down later.
Okay. I can do that.
Thank you.
Yes, Les Petits de Lagonon. Yes.
Okay.
And
thank you.
You're welcome. And this is one of the novels that I know about. I know that there are many others that were written in Wolof, but he's within the academic here, like in the U.S. He's very well known. So he's the only one that I can think of have been writing a novel, like really contemporary writer that has been. That has been writing in Wolof, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Another question. Mm-hmm. For religious practice,
yes,
in Senegal, mm-hmm, what language would you say is typically used?
Okay. So I'm Muslim. So definitely when I practice, it is in Arabic. Because you have to recite the Quran, and the Quran is written in Arabic, so you there's no way out of it, like no translation, nothing. Just following the prayers and everything, it's done in Arabic. Well, maybe at the end, once you follow all the rules and the regulations and whatnot, but then you want to pray for yourself in a certain sense and say, I really want to graduate this year, for example, you know.
Yeah.
Then you can use whatever language to state that specifically. But other than that, everything is in Arabic.
And when you do that, are you talking to God in Pula, Wolof, English, or French?
It really depends on what I'm asking To be honest, really depends on what I'm asking for and the feeling of the moment.
Okay.
But, yeah.
How about for example, you've mentioned to me before that the dissertation that you're writing is going to be in the English language. Have you published in any other language, or are you interested in researching and publishing in any other language?
Well, since my dissertation is so, it's covering all those different geographies and all those different cultures, then it is a multilingual dissertation. So I decided some of the terms, conceptual terms that I'm using, I decided to keep them in the original language, and definitely translation is a part of my dissertation because I was able, I am able to do to read French, English, Wolof, and Portuguese.
Wow.
So I was able to navigate all those different linguistic waters. So yes, definitely, like, languages are an important component of my dissertation, and this is sort of one of the what is at stake for my dissertation is that we kind of need to look at those texts in context and within the original language to be able to produce a real
interpretation.
Yes, you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. But I've most of the academic writing that I did, like, so far, I wrote my MA thesis back in Senegal, it was in English, so most of it is in English. Because of the specificities of my program, I had to take classes in the French department, so really depending on the professor, I would write in English or in French, and usually they just let us, I mean, if I wanted to, and I did write seminar papers in French.
So do you think, because, you know, English, it's thought of as the lingua franca, the current contemporary lingua franca of the world, do you ever find that English and French are competing in Senegal? Do you find a significant amount of people learning English there?
People do, and it's not, I don't think that it is really about the competition, but it is about the opportunities that you can get speaking English. Nowadays, if you're working in the corporate world or any other, like, sort of environment, it is so global that you kind of have to learn and to learn English. So yeah, definitely more and more people, I know that at the elementary level and even kindergarten, they're trying now to have that bilingual education at the kindergarten level. So yeah, more and more people are interested in working, but it is mostly because of the opportunities, like, the job offers are often go with do you know any English or things like that, like, it is often a requirement for jobs, so
I'm going to ask you in a few minutes about the use of Arabic in Senegal again, but there's a few more questions in between now and then.
Go ahead.
So you've been here for a few years in the States.
Yes.
I don't know how many, but do you, let's see, do you ever feel like, well, I guess obviously your English probably has improved since the day.
Oh, definitely.
Okay. Do you feel like any language that you speak has deteriorated or become rusty?
Poulard, definitely. And some people might say, oh, there was not a lot of Poulard beforehand. But Poulard, definitely, because like, I don't have many opportunities to practice it, right? I would talk to Maimouna. She speaks Poulard, so I would speak Poulard with her, with family members here and there, and friends who are willing to speak with me. But yeah, like, it's I'm not speaking Poulard every day, sort of, like, as I used to, or as I would if I was in Senegal. For the Wolof, I would say that it got better, really, strangely enough, it really got better, because I was teaching it. Okay. So I started to look at the language in another way, like another perspective. I started also to watch, because I'm far from home, right? I started to watch all those different sitcoms in Wolof. Mm-hmm. I would talk to my friends around here in Wolof, like my Senegalese friends or anyone who would be like a Wolof speaker. I would just pay attention to it more than I used to when sure. I was in Senegal. You know, like in Senegal, it's just like a language of communication. For me, it is sort of the fun language, you know, that you talk with, that you speak with your friends and whatnot. But getting it to teach it, I had to do research, and every day again, at some point, I had to write my own text for the teaching because of the objectives in the classroom and whatnot, like some of the text, the textbook that I was using at that time was a little bit dated, and I couldn't teach that, so I had to develop my own material in Wolof, and then it just gives you an opportunity to think about it in another light. So,
have you kept like an archive of the materials that you developed?
Yes.
That you can share with other
Yes, I share with more or whoever is interested. I mean, I don't mind at all sharing.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
Do you ever find that there are things, let's say you're having a conversation in Pula,
mm-hmm.
and there's something that you want to express and you feel like you don't have the words for it?
Yes. And a lot of times it's because like another language, the word comes, but then in another language. Mm-hmm. So depending on the person that I'm talking to, mm-hmm. If I know that person can understand, I'll just use the word. Like if I'm talking to someone who speaks Wolof and Pula, and the first word that comes to mind is in Wolof, I would just use the Wolof word. And that happens a lot, like I'm in an environment because of my program and the people that I meet usually, and most of them, they speak or understand French. So sometimes when it is 9 p.m. and I don't really feel like making an extra effort for the English, and then the French word is the first one that just shows up in my mind. So all I say is, I just use it and then that's it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so recently mm-hmm. for a class that I'm taking called Modern African Literature,
mm-hmm.
I read Hala,
yes.
which you taught me how to pronounce, by Ousmane Sembène.
Yes.
And I noticed in the written text mm-hmm. that there were, and also through watching it on YouTube, that there are at least three languages that were being used.
Yes.
There was French. There were there was Wolof, mm-hmm. and then there were interjections in Arabic.
Yes.
So I want you to tell me a little bit more about Arabic. The real mm-hmm. underlying question of the research that I'm preparing is whether or not Arabic is used exclusively in a religious context in Senegal.
Okay.
I'm going to let you take it from there.
Okay. I would say that definitely, besides the borrowings from Arabic in Wolof, French, and Pula, we use Arabic words on a daily basis and just in our everyday activities. For example, when we are talking and we are planning something, we tend to finish the sentence even if I'm speaking English or French or Pula or whatever, I tend to finish the sentence with inshallah, right? Mm-hmm. And these are the expressions that we would repeat over and over that they become sort of second nature. So I don't want to say that it is just because of the religion aspect of it. Definitely the reason why we are saying it, it's mm-hmm. because of that. But at some point it just gets to the second nature thing that you just use those expressions over and over. Or before eating, you say Bismillah or things like that. Or before doing anything, like basically you just say Bismillah, right? Mm-hmm. So that's my experience with the word. I mean, I have Christian friends who would say Inshallah also.
I've studied a little bit of Arabic, so mm-hmm. I know what Inshallah yes. means, but can you explain to the
God
listeners?
God willing.
Okay.
Yes. So, you know, it is. It gets into the vocabulary of everybody in a certain sense. Like, I don't feel that my Christian friends in Senegal do not. They don't use it in a religious sense. Mm. It got to the level that it is just part of the everyday
sort
speech.
Sort of an idiom. Of
yes.
Sorts. Okay. Great. Great. What do you know about the Arabic language arriving to Senegal?
Yes. Yes, I mean, historically, all that the textbooks said about coming from the Almoravids, mm-hmm. From Morocco. Yeah.
Coming from Morocco.
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you a different question, sort of. Do you ever witness any conversations in Arabic?
No.
In Senegal?
Like in Dakar and the environment where I've been, no.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are there any texts that are written in Arabic that you know Senegalese people are reading?
The Quran. That's for sure.
Yes.
That's for sure, and definitely there are other, depending on your religious, not your religious affiliation, but the Muslim community is divided into different brotherhood, as they call it, like in English, but I don't really think that that's the right word to use in that context, but that's the word that everybody uses anyways. And some of the works that the spiritual guides would be writing would be in Arabic and things like that. So, yeah, mm-hmm. definitely, like, for people who are doing, for people who have an allegiance to those different Muslim groups and are reading the works of their different spiritual guides, it will be in Arabic.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes a transliteration of Arabic, actually. Like, you can have it in the script, but also, like, transliterate it.
And would you say that that's similar to... We commented just a little bit mm-hmm. earlier before starting the interview about ajami.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me what that is?
Ajami is when you're using a variation of the Arabic script to write... African languages, not just African languages, I guess, but right. mostly for those that I know, the Pula, Hausa, Wolof, and etc. Like many other languages, mm-hmm. uses that. It's a variation of the Arabic script, and one of the reasons why it is just like that, it's because when you're starting with the Quranic school, before getting to the Western education, right, mm-hmm. You tend to learn first how to write Arabic and all of that. So they can write Arabic, but they can't speak Arabic. I don't know if
mm-hmm.
you... So in that sense, when knowing how to write and then they can transcribe the sounds and using the Arabic script to write whatever that they hear in a certain sense.
Okay. So what do you think of this linguistic melting pot?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that it's something that strengthens and gives people more versatility? Do you think it's something that weakens and causes confusion? Do you think it's something in between those two, none of the above?
I mean, I would say it strengthens. I'm all about diversity and multiplicity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it strengthens. It's not like we don't communicate. There is a strong... We use Wolof, like sort of the lingua franca in Senegal, but also we use French and all those different... So there are ways in which we can communicate, but also I think that it is important because each of those languages go along with culture, like a part of our tradition, part of our history, of our culture that is necessary to preserve and record in a certain sense. This is one of the reasons why I, even if Well, it wasn't challenging to keep speaking Pulau or whatever, but one of the reasons why I still try and try and try whenever I have the opportunity to speak Pulau, it's for that, you know. It is something that I don't want to lose and that I don't want, I just don't want it. I think that it comes with a sense of belonging and community. Yes, it strengthens. I don't see anything bad in speaking, in being a country speaking many languages.
Is there anything that you'd like to see more of or less of in terms of?
I mean, definitely, if they can incorporate the teaching of African languages and Wolof, Pulau, any other language, basically. They have enough, I think, people who can do that in a certain sense. The ways in which we've been learning Arabic in a certain sense and all of that, we can implement that within the curriculum for even at the kindergarten level, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because students usually, kids usually, when they come to, whether it is Quranic school or when they go to, when they start Western education or whatnot, they already have Wolof, or they already have Serer, they already have Pulau, you know, when I think that it would be their interest, and it would be really great, and it's an advantage for them to be trained also in those languages in a very academic way. So I definitely, that's one of the things that have been missing. I think waiting until college to start learning Wolof or Pulau or Serer, it's a little bit late. It's a good thing. I mean, I would take that over nothing, you know. Mm-hmm. But definitely, if it can be incorporated within the curriculum at the primary elementary level, that would be great. And I think that student, it will help actually students understand the material, the curriculum, just in general.
Mm. Well, as a last question, I'm curious to know, just from your own perspective, how unique is this cultural phenomenon to Senegal? Would you say that it's more typical of Black Africa to have, I don't know, at least four languages of competency? Or is it atypical or something in between or none of the above? Or
I would say it's typical. Like most of the, with all the Africans that have been, all the Africans that I know actually they're at least bilingual, you know, at least, at the very, very least. And even that, it's rare to see someone who just speaks two languages, like the former colonial language and the language that is the lingua franca sort of the country or whatnot. There is the ethnicity, and also there are many exchanges, cultural exchanges between ethnic groups. Like I said, when you live in an environment, even if you're not part of that ethnic group, but you live in that environment, you hear them speak on a regular basis and whatnot, you tend to just catch up on the words, and suddenly you're fluent in that language. So I would say it's typical, definitely. Mm-hmm.
Any other comments you want to make on language use in Senegal? Here's a question.
Yes.
So we've mentioned a couple people on campus who are also Senegalese.
Yes.
What languages do you guys typically communicate in? You mentioned one person, but for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Wolof. With for those that I talk to, because there are others, but those that I talk to almost every day, it's Wolof and French, depending really on what the topic is. And English also, you know, when we are talking about the classes, we are talking about the requirements, you're talking about the university, we tend to switch to English. Mm-hmm. But most of it, it's Wolof. But because Maimouna speaks Pulau, and like I said, I take any opportunity to speak Pulau, so we speak Pulau.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Hafsa, for sharing for that profile on the languages of Senegal with me.
I remember the name of the author for
of Afropolitan.
Yes, it's Taye Selassie.
Taye Selassie. I'll try and tag it. Yeah. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.